Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, GN's Destiny show. People said they wanted me to change the intro, so I did.
What do you mean?
Slightly.
That was the same intro you always do.
The same intro, yeah. Anyway,
there's nothing different.
Welcome, everybody. Joining me on the show today is Brian Malkowitz.
That's
me. Who's here 2 weeks in a row. Wow.
Wow.
And Blessius is our guest this week.
Blessius, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much for making the time to join us in the studio. And man, some updates on the TWAB this week. Let's talk about them. Basically, we are going to have so much to do in the world of Destiny in the coming months. We got a raid launch. We got the Vex Offensive, Hero and Legend Nightmare Hunt. Let's go through some of these and start talking about some of the interesting points and stuff that really, really intrigued us as we go down the board. So, 10-5, raid launch. Brian, important question.
Yep.
Are you going to raid with us or not? This is actually happening right now, by the way, because I have a crew and we have a six.
So do you have a six, or do you have a spot open that you want me to fill?
Well,
and are you streaming it on IGN when the raid launches?
Yes, of course we'll stream.
Okay, then I'll join you.
Okay, so yeah. Brian's in. We have a raid crew. It's me, you, Illegal Knight McCadley, and then two of their buddies.
Okay.
So sounds like we got six. Blessius.
I'll go where the stream is.
Blessius, 10-5. The first thing you need Shadowkeep for this is raid launch. You think you'll be raiding on day one?
I probably. Mm-hmm. I most certainly will. For me, I'm really excited because one, it's Black Garden, but like I'm not like a Mylan or like a Bife with lore, mm-hmm. but I'm super excited to see what the boss is. Is it gonna be Kura, like the High Vex God? You know, that's what I would love to see. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm excited for it.
You gonna balance that between your Borderlands and WoW Classic? You gonna hit 60 before the raid, or what do you think's gonna
happen? I'm too addicted to WoW, so I'm thinking if I just knock that out. And then I'll be good for Destiny for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Destiny comes out, I'm all Destiny 100.
I'll be honest. It is definitely Destiny week in October. But this week, it's Borderlands.
It's all
week.
About
Borderlands. Yeah.
It's Borderlands week. Everybody's playing
so
Borderlands.
Good, man.
It's really fun. The loot game is great. That's the best part about that game. And that's why part of the reason we love Destiny so much. Brian, what was your favorite gun that you found?
In Borderlands. Ooh, man, that's a tough one. Okay, so it's going to be called. It's a legendary called Quick Draw Monocle.
Yeah.
It dropped when I got like I don't know like when I was level 50, and this gun just destroys everything with like one hit on a critical shot.
Nice.
And this is even when I turned the game up to like Mayhem 1 or 2, and it's insane that gun just destroys everything with one hit.
Blessius and I are level 9.
Yeah,
well, you're 8, I'm 9.
Sorry, in my defense, you know,
Brian
we had the game.
Pre-release
we had
stuff.
The game pre-release, so I was able to level up 50.
Oh, I had the game before everybody. I'm Brian Malkowitz. Just kidding, dude. Okay, back to Destiny. 10-5, also Vex Offensive, Season of the Undying. Now, this one's really, really intriguing to me because it seems like the Vex are going to be protecting themselves in some way. I'm really intrigued by the cinematic that we saw and everything. Do you guys have any thoughts about what we're going to be experiencing with Vex Offensive? Do you find it interesting that they've phrased it that way at all? Blessius?
The word offensive, I kind of get like a horde mode kind of thing.
Ooh.
Especially how like they have like modifiers. I believe there's something else on the list that maybe says like it turns up a notch. Yeah, mm-hmm. Vex Offensive Final Assault.
Yeah.
It seems kind of like horde modey. And also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was like a long time ago before D2 came out. I would say before Age of Triumph in D1. The company that makes the CGI for Destiny and Bungie, they showed that.
Yeah, they leaked it forever ago, right?
Wow. Oh, yeah. That was...
Is that the one where they're rising up out of the water?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I got it. Or probably the Raid or the Vex Milk or whatever you want to call it.
Deej, when he was at Gamescom, remember he was all tongue-in-cheek about it. He's like, the all-new cutscene you've never seen before.
And will not see for another year.
Yeah. Really stuck about that. That's a good point, though. A horde mode with Vex. That would be really, really cool. What do you think, Brian? That'd be fun, right?
I think
Minotaurs,
so.
Bigger Minotaurs. I mean,
if we're going that, I hope it's, you know, in the vein of Prison of Elders. In the sense, I know we had, you know, Vex in the Prison of Elders, you know, with the giant bosses and all that such like that. So I'm hoping it's sort of in the vein like that.
I got to be honest. If there's still a stomp mechanic, I hope they have like bouncy things
there's
on the side of the thing.
There's going to be a stomp mechanic.
So that you just bounce. Like, just own it. Okay, we have stomp mechanics
there's
in our
going
game.
To be a
Let's
stomp
make
mechanic.
It goofy.
The walls have stomp mechanics now.
Yeah. 10/8, Hero and Legend Nightmare Haunts. So we know that Eris is sort of going crazy or whatever. We know we're going to be fighting nightmares. This sounds cool. We already know that Crota is going to be there. We saw Skolas in the teaser footage
we saw
earlier.
Gaul too as well.
Gaul. Yeah. Who is somebody that we haven't seen that you're like, ooh, I'd like to fight that character?
Omnigul.
I think they might have teased Omnigul.
They'll probably. Yeah. I'm sure. Like, how do you do like a hive, a scary moon theme without bringing Omnigul back?
Yeah. What about you? You got one?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and the only one that's weak to me is Gaul, because I'm like, oh, it's Gaul.
Yeah,
like all everyone else is cool. It's just like, oh, it's Gaul. Can we just forget about that guy? Like
when I finally did my hunter, we DPS'd him so much as soon as he went vulnerable that he went through all his death animations
Supers at
once. Like all his death animations happened at once, and it was hilarious. Like to me, it was funny. To nobody else, I guess. But anyway, I would really like to see Oryx. Let's see what they could do with Oryx, because like that whole encounter where he's gigantic in the raid, you guys remember that?
Yeah.
That, I
It'd
think
be
that
interesting
be
if
really
they
cool.
brought that back, but I'm not sure. I mean, would the game benefit anyway from bringing that encounter back?
I mean, they're bringing back Gaul. They're bringing back all these other characters.
I'm not saying the entirety of the encounter,
right. But just the larger than life Oryx. Sure. I think reliving that
with
scenario,
a twist on it. So if it's like
exactly,
if we're not going back and we're like, wait a minute, this is just the raid boss, from King's Fall. But yeah,
or like, what if you fight all the nightmares and then the big nightmares Oryx? Because it's all tied to Eris Morn, right? And her whole involvement was with the Oryx storyline. I would not be surprised if we end up fighting this guy again.
I think it would be a great final boss with like the DLC and like, what if like, I'm just saying this, I know it probably won't happen, but you know, when you beat Rise of Iron, you get the sword. What if you beat this and you get Touch of Malice because you defeated it? It's like, you know, maybe a nightmare version of Touch of Malice. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, one thing I'd want to see lore wise is, you know, in Destiny 1, one of Eris's like, what happened to Eris when they went down into the pit?
Yeah.
You know, and her entire fire team died.
Ooh, like
so
reliving
her nightmare is either reliving that or like something like in Rise of Iron, when you were saying, when all of those people came back to life.
Yeah.
And you have to fight them in some way. And just some
coolest.
You're the murderer.
Yeah.
No, that's a cool idea. I would like to live any of those lore moments that have sort of been hinted at for us to be able to experience those as players. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
100%. And a good way to tie Tolan into that too, because like he could literally be like that wisp that takes you down there too.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Getting chills. Well, we'll see what it actually is. It's probably just like a
game
mode or whatever.
Yeah, we don't want to be like giving ourselves chills and happiness for something that may not happen. I don't want to get excited.
So the run of show this week is basically, let's go over everything that was on the list and sort of speculate. So we're sort of having fun. In addition, Iron Banner will be free to all Destiny players. Exotic Quest Leviathan's Breath, the bow, will be part of Season of Undying, which comes with Shadowkeep, by the way.
Is that bow that they were teasing with that didn't have a name that they throw and it kind of just blew enemies like back out of wherever they were standing?
Yeah. So that's 10.
The motorcycle one.
The bike chain.
That is 10/22. That seems cool. And it's a quest. Love that. Festival of the Lost, 10/29 to 11/19. That will be free to all players. How do you think
Festival
they're going to change
that? Festival of the
Cost. Yeah. Festival of the Cost. Yeah. I kind of hope they, like, it wasn't bad. It was the Haunted Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of hoping they do something a little different with that, because then they kind of like reused that. I forget what event it was that they did this year that kind of was on the same vein. Oh, it was the one where everybody complained about it because it made you more powerful in comp. What was that?
Where like you had like things going on.
Yeah, I'm
like
blanking
you could have
on
like
the
infinite
name.
Grenades.
Yeah.
I've blocked it out of my memory.
It started with an R.
Think about it. Revelry?
The Revelry.
Revelry.
Yeah. Because they kind of reused that idea with the Revelry of the Haunted Forest. So I'm kind of hoping they do something a little different.
Also,
I'm curious if there's going to be a spookier horror story, like spooky.
Yeah,
horror
so you got story. you got this shadow keep coming out. It's a very haunting, dark story, and like that's what Festival of the Lost is. It's just all about just spookiness. So it's like they got to kind of one up it in sort of a way.
Actually, I never got horror story the AR, with the other news that we're going to be going over about the weapon buffs and how ARs are getting a 25 to 30% buff. Horror story could be pretty clutch after that event. But also happening on 10/29, we're getting a new dungeon. I really, really like the dungeons in Destiny that we got. Well, the one dungeon that we've got to experience this far, and I cannot wait to see what they do again. This has me really excited.
That's funny because I read that as like I it's probably because I was playing too much WoW, but like I was reading Dungeon as a Strike, and so like, new Strike, but like now that you say dungeon, I'm like, whoa, like. Yeah. I'm excited. Mm-hmm.
Get a new Shattered Throne.
Yeah, so like Shattered Throne, this super challenging dungeon. I like that encounter a lot, and it's just cool that they're like finally releasing the second one. I'm excited to see what they got to throw at us. I think we can take it down though.
Yeah.
New PvP mode, Momentum Control.
Momentum Control.
So it's going to involve movement and holding points.
I hope it's not. I hope it's not exactly what it shows, and it's just momentum is on during control. if we're taking it literally, it's just the momentum buff or debuff, whatever you want to
call it. I am now officially less excited. That one's free for everybody.
I really doubt that.
I mean, it might be. Man.
Sorry, I doubt that's what it is. But if we're taking it at face value, that's what it looks like to me.
Thanks, Brian.
Sorry.
You ruined it. Moving on. What else we got here? Sorry, I lost my spot. Give me a second. Momentum Control, 10/29, Exotic Quest Divinity, the Laser Beam.
Oh, is that a new trace?
Yep. Laser. I call it laser. And 10/05, First Raid Challenge. I thought they got rid of challenges.
I did too.
What's a raid challenge?
Well, I mean, they could be something different. I mean, hopefully it's more raid-wide rather than just encounter-specific.
Hmm.
I like how challenges were in D1, where like you had to take what's that boss? Not Fogoth, but Golgoroth.
Golgoroth,
and you had to do it like a certain way.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day when they first did the Taken King raid like challenges, and I remember back when like Holtzman was at Planet Destiny, and like his review of like it was like, oh, it's not challenging. I remember just all the rees of like, actually, I'm having a pretty hard time with it. Like, I remember that so vividly. Yeah, so when I think challenges, that's why I have a flashback.
Challenges created something interesting too, where at some point during like when you find out the really, really good strat to do a challenge, you take it and you're like, wait, this actually might be the easier way to actually complete the encounter, even when the challenge isn't
active. It's like here's the challenge. It's almost teaching you how they thought you would do the encounter.
Yeah, like maybe and maybe then you're like it was that way. Maybe it was that way with Oryx in King's Fall. Because if I remember correctly, the challenge was to destroy all like four orbs at a time.
Yes,
at all four times at once. And it's like at some point when you were playing, we're like, man, this is actually better and more efficient than doing it what we've always done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think more chances to fail, though. But like if you got it down. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then final 11/19, Vex Offensive Final Assault, part of Season of Undying. So that will be the continuation of the 10/5 thing. So, remember back in the day when Bungie was talking about their development cycle and how they want to provide regular updates and stuff like that? If they can maintain this cadence through December into the next expansion, this is a really, really strong cadence, and there is a lot to do from launch all the way until 11/19. It seems like we're going to be having consistent activities.
Weekly,
yeah. So every week you're going to have a reason to sign in, and I think that's their design goal.
I imagine there'll be a little bit of a lull between 11/19 and whatever the next season is after that, right?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
December is when they usually put like your Curse of Oofs and like Black Armories, right?
Yeah. Those are December things, and plus then they also have the winter event, Solstice. No,
true.
Yeah,
what is that? I keep on forgetting all these event names.
Winter
of Solstice.
No.
Solstice. Winter of Solstice.
Solstice of Heroes.
The Dawning. I can't remember. The Dawning.
Okay. The Dawning.
Man, I feel like I haven't been playing this game for 5 years.
Anyway, that's everything that's coming down the road. But also in the TWAB, these have me really excited. So first of all, they said that mods are going to be converted to unlocks. We knew that was on the way. Minor enemies are going to take more precision damage, and they've done sweeping changes.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, they're going to take more, right? Can you check for us, Blessius?
Yeah, forgive me if I'm wrong here.
Quote that Brian's getting wrong.
I think the minor enemies are supposed to take less precision damage from them.
Minor enemies rank and file no longer take precision damage than other enemies.
More
enemies
more precision damage than other enemies. I did have it wrong.
Okay.
I just didn't
want to get destroyed in the comment section.
No, I will now. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. I'm looking out for you.
Yeah. No, okay. So sorry about that. I miswrote on my show notes, but
they're trying to balance out all these buffs so that way they're just not mowing everybody down.
And let's talk about those. There's three that are specifically notable. We'll go over all of them, but we'll start with the three most notable. Auto rifles, 25 to 30% buff. Now, this buff depends on the ranking of the enemy, basically. Yeah. And man, that is a big buff.
That's huge.
Yes. So I think auto rifles are going to be more viable in PvE anyway. Yeah. We'll see what ends up happening with PvE.
They didn't
really. Seros is going to take over.
Think of all the gambit challenges that you had to do with the auto rifle to get your.
Breakneck. You pretty much had to use. What was that other? There was another auto rifle that was gambit related that everybody used.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I forget the name of it. I'm just forgetting a lot of things today.
Thanks, Brian. You're doing great. Maybe if you don't remember, wait until you remember.
Yeah. I'm just not going to talk until I remember.
No, it's really, really good, but that's exciting. I think that's going to bring auto rifles sort of in line with where some of the other weapons are going to be. I don't know how much this is going to affect PvP, though.
Yeah, there's not a lot of whole PvP.
They didn't mention PvP except for like two things. One thing that I made sure to note extensively was the hand cannon changes, because this is going to affect the PvP meta. So first of all, 30% PvE buff, great.
I can't wait to use Sunshot again.
Nation of Beasts. Ooh. Yeah, Sunshot got a few more shots, by the way. 12, yeah. Reduce the effect the range stat has on damage range falloff, so effective range for this weapon archetype. So they're going to have more damage falloff at long range. Lightweight and adaptive, use new firing animation when ADS. So the reason they're doing this is because that change was made to increase weapon accuracy when firing these weapons as fast as possible. What was happening, they're saying, was players can shoot faster than the recoil animation of 140-50 archetypes.
Wasn't this more of an issue on console?
Well, they're fixing it. Yeah. So while the hand cannon looks to have fully reset from recoil, the following projectile will be shot as if the weapon was still in a recoiled state. So basically, you probably had to wait a little bit longer. So that's really good. I'm really, really happy that they're adjusting hand cannons. And it is being buffed in PvE. But with that damage fall off, I'm wondering if hand cannons are going to be brought down a little bit to make other weapons more viable. Probably, right, you guys?
I would think that, too. I mean, like, when I think Destiny, I think hand cannons. But, like, it's nice to bring everything up to that power for most things, especially in Crucible or PvE.
Yeah.
Especially with how bad scout rifles have been.
Speaking of scout rifles, thank you, Brian. 36% buff. They're not messing around with scouts, thankfully.
They're going to be usable again?
Yeah.
I know.
We'll actually be able to use scouts.
Can I bring Polaris Lance back out of the vault and use it again?
Yeah, so that one was really, really good. And those are the three that were most interesting to me. I'm just excited that they're making weapons more viable in PvE, because right now you kind of, like, I use my shotgun still.
I think that's the only
trench shoddy.
That's the only type of weapon on here that wasn't mentioned, right?
Yeah, no rockets.
Yeah, which are both fine in their current state, so.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to rock any of these weapons? We'll probably all test them out, right, Blessius?
Yeah, I would test it out, but I'm probably going to be lame and just use Recluse and PvE.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's actually something that's crazy, because submachines are getting a buff.
Yeah,
so that means, I know.
That means Recluse is just going to be 22% better than it is now.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah, so If you got Recluse, congratulations. It's going to get better. There were some notes about bows. Mostly I wrote down a lot of the main weapons. Sidearm, 16% buff. Machine guns, 25% buff. More damage fall off, though, so you won't just use machine guns, for example, in Gambit for those kills.
Right.
And et cetera. And then one of the exotics that I did write down is that Sweet Business is up 15% damage and has more bullets. And they reduce the 1-2 punch effectiveness almost like they watch Glad streams or something, where they just where they're just poo-pooing on monsters.
Poo-pooing on monsters.
Yeah, like all the time from the raids.
They also increase the effect. I think you don't no longer have to be firing in order for it to get its reload when you step over a brick of ammo. I believe that was also part of it.
Really?
For Sweet Business.
Can you check
the exotic? Oh, yeah, it says this weapon no longer requires you to be firing to pick up ammo.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm. Yeah, with all the reload changes, that's actually going to be quite
impactful.
That's
going to be nice, yeah.
So basically, not a lot of like reactionary stuff from this news. It's just cool. I'm really, really excited to get in and experience the new sandbox because now we know what's happening with the weapons. Last week, we talked about what's happening with armor, what's going to be adjusted. I am the kind of player that I will just kind of sit back. I will see the meta that people are playing with, and I'll adapt the parts that I like of it to my play style if I want to. But if I just sort of fall into something that I like and somebody's like, hey, that particular weapon you're using doesn't have quite as good DPS as this one, I will adjust accordingly.
Sure.
What about you guys? How is this going to affect how you play going into Shadowkeep? Like, how are you going to start? You're probably just going to have on a bunch of crap and just see what happens and figure it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously the most exciting thing for me is the auto rifle buff.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pull all these auto rifles that I've been wanting to use, you know, since they're mega nerf, and just run with those for a while and just see how they perform.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is like when like anything drops, whether it's like Destiny 2 or like an expansion, and like there's a massive just change and everything. I love like the first 2 days where no one has a meta.
Oh yeah,
it's just bliss. Someone's in there with just stuff you don't see, and it's fun. And then a weekend, that's when everyone's gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna use blank.
Oh, pulse rifle.
It's almost like it's almost like a weird sense of freedom because you're not bound to any sort of like unwritten restriction.
Yeah. I'm not doing it wrong.
You're not doing it wrong because there is no right yet. Cause like, you know, all the top minds of Destiny meta haven't figured it out yet. Yeah. So you're just like, you know what? I'm going to play with whatever I feel like right now because they all got buffs. So I'm just going to see what works. And then somebody, like you said, like Bless You said, someone's going to figure out what the best stuff is. And then they're going to roll with that.
It always makes me a little sad when I'm playing and I have my good loadout, you know, then my friend pops on his monocle and he's like, well, actually, Datto, you know, did some analysis of the weapons and you are not in the current meta, sir. You're losing 5.3% damage per...
Wow, sorry. Is Teddy in here?
No, Teddy would do it much nicer. But Teddy would do it nicer. That's
sorry, Teddy, I love you. I don't even know if you watch these.
Two other small notes. So Phil Spencer and Pete Parsons did play Destiny together on the Xbox. That was pretty cool. And Phil did comment that he actually played his first game on the Scarlet during
Destiny
that stream.
Destiny 3.
That was a news story that we ran on IGN. Really exciting. Really cool to see these guys collaborating. But one other thing also happened last week, and I thought we could all take a second to reflect. Go ahead, Blessius.
Wait. They admitted to Destiny 3 being a thing?
No, making a joke.
No.
You're like, hold on.
Oh, I was like, what? And you're just going over that? I was like, what?
Yeah, and I guess Destiny 3 is having a launch trailer. Whatever, let's move on. No, I'm just kidding. No, that didn't happen. But yeah, so that was really cool.
I gotta go make news.
The other thing was that Destiny celebrated its 5-year anniversary. That means we've been probably doing the show for, what, 4 years, Brian?
No, didn't you start doing this show like immediately
we
after
we started
the
it? We started it. Dark,
I mean, not me.
Dark Below.
You and Jose started it.
Me, Jose, and Alfredo.
I probably was on it like once or twice, like in the beginning. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I was on December? The first episode. I might have been a producer on the first episode. I'm the one that like made it happen. And then after that, I'd.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was just a co-host. I don't remember what it was. Jose led the show for like 2 episodes. Then he's like, oh my God, I got NVC. I'm too busy.
I thought it was a bit longer than that, but yeah.
As host, he was on the show regularly, but eventually it kind of got to the point where he just couldn't balance everything.
Where he couldn't host it and like,
yeah,
somebody else.
Yeah, but I think he was still on the show.
He just couldn't help plan for it because he's got all this other stuff going on. Yeah, for sure.
Jose was great. Yeah. I don't want to make that sound that's Jose throwing shit at Jose.
But he had a bunch of stuff when he was here. So
anyway, so 5-year anniversary, probably been doing the show just about as long. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, for watching, first of all. The show doesn't happen if you guys don't watch it, basically. I like to brag in the office, and I get a lot of shade thrown at me. I'm like, you know, we're the most viewed show that IGN does for YouTube.
Right.
Just saying. Yeah. So I'm pretty proud of that. I'm pretty proud of that.
Jonathan. Ryan.
I'm proud of that. We have other fantastic shows on IGN.
Damon.
Step your game up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, those guys are great.
Cover content that people care about. I'm just kidding.
Like Destiny.
I'm just throwing shade at them now. It's messed up.
That's mean, Brian. You're not.
I love all of them. They do great work.
Yeah. I'm very proud of this show, and this show wouldn't happen without support from you guys. Bless you. Guests like you guys coming on is like a huge help to us, and I'm happy to have you on the show to discuss with us. And with that said, let me throw it to you. I've kind of talked about the legacy of the show. Do you have any memories over your 5 years of coverage with Destiny or just playing as a fan? What was something that really stood out to you as an achievement or something you remember about your time with Destiny that you wanted to share today?
For me, I have two things that are near and dear to my heart. It was the first time I ever ran Relic, aka like you were the tank of Vault of Glass for... who dropped Fatebringer? Templar.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, he was enraged. It was me and two other guys alive. It was, like, 3 a.m. on, like, a work night. And we were able to kill him. And Fatebringer dropped. And I was going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably, like, my number one. And I don't think I would have made other characters if I wasn't trying to get Hawkmoon back in Destiny 1 year one.
Yep.
Because I wanted it so bad. I never got it. I ran Prison of Elders because you get free exotics from it. Nothing. I went and I got a Vault of Glass chest every week. Never got it. And then what do? They nerf it. And then Xur sells it first week at King's. Not King's Fall, but Taken King.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart because it sucked.
Yeah, because like once it was gone, it was not as
it's
good.
It's gone.
Yep.
I want to say that might have been the last exotic I needed. And I like one of the first reaction things I shot was me getting Hawkmoon. And I was like, oh, I got it. Like, yeah, you know, so of course, like, I lost my mind when that happened. I can relate, man. I feel your pain, but I did get to use it for like a month before they nerfed it. And it was glorious, man. When it would double proc, like two in a row.
One shot headshots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, I'm over here in my old, I was in Xbox world when Hawkmoon was a thing. And so we got it after the super nerf. So
what about you, Brian? Do you have any memories?
Yeah. Over your 5 years? So... actually, the first raid is also Vault of Glass. I took a break from Destiny 1 after my first exotic was for a character class that I didn't play yet. I was back before I really got hooked into Destiny and like just played it as like a hobby. And I got my first exotic drop was I was a warlock and it was for a hunter. I was just like, what the hell?
I forgot.
What the hell game?
I forgot. So I that's how it worked.
While. But anyways, fast forward a few months later, and like Alfredo and Sean Finnegan were planning a raid together, and I was just like, hey, you guys want to carry like a low level 26 through the raid?
Yeah.
And they did, and then like, but we got to the point just before you go fight Atheon, that giant chasm that you have to jump down to, and then kind of scale that tiny strip along the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 30 minutes. To figure out how to do that jump. Well, I actually didn't even figure it out. Like, this is just like 30 minutes of me just jumping and dying, and just like Alfredo and Finnegan laughing at me.
Yeah.
I think Finnegan's told the story on Fireteam Chat a bunch of times.
Probably. You were the guy?
Yeah, that was me.
You were the guy who failed for like 30
minutes. Yeah. I couldn't. It's just like, they didn't tell me.
Your way onto this show.
They didn't tell me that there was like these platforms that appeared and disappeared. And I was just down at this like other edge trying to make this long, long jump. And I would just die every time. And then eventually they just kicked me to orbit. They didn't kick me to orbit. They're like, all right, go to orbit. We'll go to Atheon, bring you back in. And, but I had another one. It's also with Finnegan in King's Fall. It's more of a like you kind of had to be there kind of joke. But I was the what did you call it when you're torn between worlds and you're the guy who has to carry the
ascended.
I think that's what it's
called. I know what
but you have to go up and around and grab that.
Yeah, that's really
that.
Fun.
Yeah, so I was that.
And then you dunk it.
So I was that person, you know, so we're just going around. We're having a pretty good time in this raid. Everything's going smooth. But I do the platforms, get all the way up to the top, grab the orb. And for some reason, I just you know, let out, all right, Papa's got the juice. and like, I don't know why I said that, but everybody in the party just started laughing because it was just out of context and out of nowhere. And then everybody was just laughing. We actually wiped Yeah. Because nobody could
focus.
Just, like, focus because they're just laughing that I just said, Papa's got the juice. And like, it was just funny because like Finnegan also like just loved that joke and carried it forward. Like to where he almost made like shirts saying that. He wanted someone to design a shirt saying Papa's got the juice on it. It was just, it was a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think a lot of us have memories of times when we were just playing with people and we had these funny moments that only the community of Destiny really gets. You know, people can probably identify with your story of just somebody doing something silly during a raid and having that moment. Mm. For me, my coverage of Destiny actually started with people making jokes about the name because my name is Destin and the game being Destiny.
I'm guilty of that. I did that a lot to you.
Yeah. So like pre-release, like this was like a rumored speculative thing. And I was always really excited and interested about Destiny, but we did this dumb skit where I said like, it is not like my name. My name is different. My name is Destin. This is about Destiny. Anyway,
I wanted to do a Let's Play series with you called Destin's Destiny, but
yeah. So like everybody had fun with that in the IGN office, but then we ended up doing the IGN first. I did it with James Faulkner. And were you there?
Nope.
You were not there. So it was me, James Faulkner, Ryan McCaffrey, and we got to go to Bungie and do our early coverage of it. By this time, I had already known I was going to be really excited because we had seen the presentations at E3, mm-hmm. and I had no idea that it would transform into a five-year-long coverage span. And during that time, being able to see GuardianCon emerge and shows like DCP happen and everybody else that started contributing to the community in interesting ways, Data with his, you know, tech videos, and getting to meet him in Vegas during some totally unrelated event. I think it was Evo. And just meeting members of the community like Blessius, who we have on the show today, it's been pretty surreal. I never would have imagined that the game would have connected me with so many interesting people, allowed me to go to Bungie and meet the people at Bungie and, mm-hmm. you know, just cover the game in the way that I have. So thank you to the audience. Thank you to anybody who's met me in person and give me the benefit of the doubt. Some people don't do that, that I'm not terrible and mean all the time to people, except for Brian. Just kidding. Thank you, community. Thank you, Destiny. Thank you, everybody at Bungie, for working on this game.
Except for CJ.
And it's special. And I hope people recognize that. I think Bungie recognizes that largely.
Sure.
And I hope the community, even though we have our frustrations with the game constantly, remember that this game does, at the end of the day, bring us together to complain about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks. So thanks to everybody watching. Honestly, for the run-of-show this week, we didn't have a ton to go over. We want to talk about everything that's coming
down. A lot of stuff.
Everything coming down the line. Some of that's free. Some of that's part of the Undying. Some of that's Shadowkeep. We kind of went over at the top of the show. But that's everything that I had for this week. Are there any topics that you guys would like to discuss before we head out, Brian?
I'm good.
Yeah. Blessius, you got anything?
Are you guys going to do Menagerie to get anything else? Because it's like, what, 3X?
Rewards? Oh. Three times? Really?
When did that happen?
I think that's what I was told. That's what I was told today.
They increased
dropping at 3X.
Wow, they increased awesome. The drops. Oh, I knew that. I didn't know it was community three.
Event. It was a community was event, two. Right? If we did something and they were increased the drop rates.
Oh.
Maybe that was because of that. But
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm in Borderlands land right now.
I know.
I have four parts of Gears 5 that I really want to finish. I have to say thank you
to Bungie for pushing back Shadowkeep, even if it's just more development Dude. Time or if it's because they didn't want to go like side to side.
It would have been out this week, right? It would have been out next 16th, week.
17th, right? So it would have been Tuesday.
Yeah. We are very happy you delayed the
so
game.
Delayed Shadowkeep.
And it's a really good window.
As much as excited as I am for Shadowkeep, I just did not want it butting up against all the stuff that's out right now.
Yeah, we have all this stuff for like Shadowkeep coming along the way. And then we have like Death Stranding and some of these other games that we're really, really excited to play. So, yeah. Well, that's all we actually have for this week. Thank you to our guest, Blessius. Blessius, where can people find you?
You can find me twitch.tv/Blessius, youtube.com/Blessius, and on Twitter and Instagram as Blessius Plays. And seriously, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
you guys are awesome.
And thanks for being on.
Respect you guys a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we have for this week. We're going to do the point now. So until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.